Coming up on today's Locked On Dodgers, talk about Austin Barnes as the backup catcher and a potential free agent ad in the outfield slash infield. That's what's on tap, so make sure to keep it Locked On Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yo, 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 Dodger fans, welcome to Locked On Dodgers. This is a daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I'm Vince Samperio, Chavez Ravine Fiends, here rolling solo for the day. And a little bit later for you guys than usual, Jeff and I both had conflicts the night before. So this is the first available time I was available to record. So it's a little bit later than normal, but we're still here for you every weekday morning. We want to thank you for making us your first listen, although today we may be your second listen. But either way, thank you for making us your first listen every single day. We are here and we are free and we are available on all platforms, including YouTube. All right, so today, no big news on the Dodgers front or MLB front. There was some news, I guess, for a potential player the Dodgers could have been interested in, although I don't think so. But Corey Seager's brother, Kyle Seager, announced his retirement via his wife's Twitter account, and an interesting decision on his end. You know, he did hit 35 home runs last year. He didn't have the overall peripheral numbers. His WAR wasn't that great. His WRC plus wasn't that great. He was an average hitter in some of those regards, but you know, 35 home runs, I think Fangraphs had him a little bit better in WAR. And yeah, he decides to go out. I'm not sure, you know, what factored into it, but Kyle Seager will no longer be playing in the majors. So congrats to him. Salutes to him. 11-year career over there with the Mariners. And yeah, now I guess he can watch his brother in Texas if he really wants to. But for today's episode, wanted to talk about Austin Barnes a little bit. He's a guy that just has been getting grandfathered and shoot into this backup catcher role, but should he really be in that backup catcher role at this point after what we've seen the last few years? I'll get into that, and then I want to talk a little bit about Kyle Schwarber, another player that I've seen, not linked to the Dodgers, but I've seen him on a couple of all the Dodgers could look at him or should look at him, and so it made me want to look at him and see what he can bring to the Dodgers. So let's start off with Barnes, and he's at this point, I don't know if he's a polarizing case. He's the backup catcher. It's not a huge deal. But the fact that he is one step away from being the everyday catcher is a little bit concerning in some regards, especially with Kiber Ruiz now in Washington and Diego Cartaya a few years away. I mean, even Connor Wong traded to the Red Sox in the Mookie Betts deal. So it's not like they have anybody waiting in the wings. And yeah, just looking at Austin Barnes' 2021 season, his WAR was pretty on par with most of his other seasons, other than the 2017 anomaly. He had 0.8 WAR. He's at 0.8 WAR the last three seasons, which is, I guess, decent enough for your backup catcher. His WRC plus was lower, but not the lowest of his career. He actually had the second highest slugging percentage in his career. He did hit 6 home runs in limited at bats. But he did have the highest strikeout rate, second highest strikeout rate in his career, lowest walk rate of his career. And yeah, just overall didn't put much fear or anything into opposing pitchers. He did have the least amount of plate appearances that he's had in full seasons in a while. So Will Smith did get a majority in the bulk of those at-bats and plate appearances. So at least that. But looking at, you know, just obviously if you're going to look at Austin Barnes, should the Dodgers keep him, you got to look at who's available. And realistically, he is probably the best guy available that's a free agent. You got guys like Stephen Vogt, Jeff Mathis, Rob Brantley, Wilson Ramos, Jose Lobaton, Robinson Chirinos, Kurt Suzuki, Yeah, nobody that's going to, you know, knock any doors down or make you say, hey, we need to get rid of Austin Barnes. And, I mean, this is Austin Barnes' last year on his deal. And honestly, it could be the last year we see Austin Barnes in a Dodger uniform just for the simple fact that Will Smith is starting to get more comfortable with all the pitchers. You know, Clayton Kershaw, if he does come back, it won't be probably for that long. And I don't know if he's going to stick up for Austin Barnes that strongly. I don't know if it's one of those where I need Barnes to be here. Like I said, Will Smith did catch the majority of the games last year, even some Kershaw starts. So it's not like it's one of those situations where it's just Barnes and Kershaw. So he's going to, lose out a little bit on that. And by next year, after this year, Cartier will be one step closer to probably being ready to contribute in some way or at least step in if Will Smith did get hurt. So I think long story short, I think, obviously Barnes is not great. You don't love to see him at the plate, but at this point in what the Dodgers have in Will Smith, who is one of the best catchers in baseball, Austin Barnes is good enough right now for your backup. But it is just concerning that if Will Smith did go down, that would be a hole in your lineup. Now, what we've talked about before is you can have a hole in your lineup if it's the guy that's providing value on defense or in some other capacity, which is what Barnes does do. But it's going to matter. It's going to depend more on universal DH. There's a universal DH. You put Austin Barnes ninth and don't even worry about it. It's like having the pitcher like normal. But it's when you have the pitcher spot in the nine hole, then you had Austin Barnes in the eight hole, and then if you had any of the other outfielder or rookies that came up this year that struggled, there was games where the Dodgers had a black hole after the sixth spot in the lineup. And you can't have that if you're going to – you can have that. Obviously, the Dodgers won 106 games. You can have that and still win, but it's not the ideal situation. You're putting all your pitching – you're putting more strain on your pitching staff, and, you're putting more strain on the top half of your lineup to put some runs up instead of just getting on base and passing the baton, because you couldn't pass the baton when after your number six batter, everyone else was basically an automatic out at that point. So I think Austin Barnes serves a purpose. He serves his purpose here on this Dodgers team, but I do think this might be the last year he serves that purpose, just because – he won't have anyone that he has like a crazy rapport with anymore. I don't know. He could have another year where he breaks out a little bit, or not breaks out, but exceeds expectations, and that's very possible. Like I said, just the trends that happened last year were lowest walk rate ever, highest strikeout rate ever. That's not the trend you want to see, or second highest strikeout rate of his career. Not the trend you want to see. But everything else kind of came out on par. He was better. I will say, I mentioned the WAR earlier of 0.8 the last – or 2 years, and 0.7 the year before that. Last year in 2020, it was a little bit more – he was positive offensively, positive defensively. This year, he was negative offensively, more positive defensively than in the past. So – he still brings that value on defense. He can't throw anybody out, but the Dodgers pitchers also can't hold anybody on, so I can't fault him too much for that. But at the end of the day, Austin Barnes is a good backup catcher, and he's going to be what the Dodgers roll with this year. But I do think that they will move on from him after this year and find somebody else. But that's a long time away. So Austin Barnes, you're fine for this year, but step your game up just a little bit at the plate. I would really appreciate that. All right, let's talk about Kyle Schwarber. But first, let's talk about Built Bar. It's New Year's resolution. If yours is about getting fit or eating healthier, Built Bars can help you out. Built Bars are the best tasting protein bar. They taste like a candy bar, maybe even better than a candy bar. They're all covered in chocolate, and they're great for you. Low calorie, low sugar, low carbs, high protein, high fiber, anything you can want in a protein bar, but it tastes great and also serves like a candy bar. So even if you're not a huge fan of working out, you can at least eat something that tastes good and better for you. That way, when you eat a delicious Built Bar, you can almost count it as a workout. There's so many flavors to choose from coconut almond, peanut butter brownie, raspberry, cookies and cream, salted caramel, milk brownie, many more. They're always coming out with new flavors. They're always coming out with new ideas. So check out Built.com to see what's new. Right now, if you go to Built.com and use the promo code LOCK15, you'll get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at built.com. So Kyle Schwarber is a free agent. He spent last year with the Nationals and Red Sox and had a really good year. 928 OPS, was an all-star, 32 home runs. He had an OPS plus of 148, which is 48% better than average. And other than the one hamstring injury, he was fairly healthy for the most part. And a guy that never really thought of, but now I've seen him on a couple lists of either he's on a list for with that includes the Dodgers of play, teams that should be interested or whatever the case is. And it got me thinking, you know, Jock Peterson, Kyle Schwarber, same role, same idea. Would it work? I'm starting to get sold on it. I'm starting to get sold on a lot of these free agents I've been talking about lately. But Kyle Schwarber, I mean, he can play left field. He can't play it great, but he can play a solid left field. I'm sure he can play. I mean, not sure, but he can play some first base. And if there's universal DH, he can be that. And honestly, I think we've talked about Freddie Freeman and moving Muncy over. You know, I don't think Kyle Schwarber is a guy you get necessarily to move Max Muncy over like full time permanently. But I think if you talk to Schwarber and you say, hey, you know what, we'll mix you in at first and left. And if you get the DH to where essentially he's an everyday player, or at least against right-handers, it's a guy that can help you out for sure. And it's someone that can bring you power, can carry you at times. You know, he's a guy who last year carried the Nationals at one point. He had a home run in like 8 or 9 straight games. The Nationals won like 10 out of 12 games or something like that, or whatever the case was. He was a big part of that. He was the one that hit. And yeah, looking at his splits from last year against righties, a 990 OPS with 28 home runs. Against lefties, he wasn't terrible, but he was just serviceable, 788 OPS with just 4 of those home runs in 123 at-bats. So he's not a guy you have to bench against lefties, but if you have a guy like AJ Pollock who can hit against left-handed pitching and, you know, Schwarber either sits or goes to the DH or something like that, he's a guy that can help out. And I do think that from what we remember last year offensively for the Dodgers, that's someone you can use. He's a guy that's been there in the postseason as well. You know, whether he's hit great in the postseason or not, he's been there, and that's a lot better than you can say than Steven Souza or Andy Burns, unfortunately. And he has done well enough in the postseason at 878 OPS over 11 series in the postseason. So he's been able to contribute there as well. And yeah, I don't know what it's going to cost. It's always going to come down to cost and years and stuff like that. But for the most part, if you're still a free agent at this time, other than Carlos Correa, you're probably not getting big, big money, and you're probably not getting a long, long contract. So realistically, the Dodgers could fit and get him in. I don't want to put this as the Dodgers need to get somebody now. You know, if they don't get Freddie Freeman, I don't think they need to get somebody that can, like, play first or outfield. But I think we're getting close enough to that point where Kyle Schwarber is a guy you take a little bit long look at it and see what he can do. And you just look at his numbers from last year. I mean, last year, he, like I said, he had one of his better years. And you look at his Baseball Savant page, and he's got red all over. Hard hit percentage, max exit velocity, average exit velocity, barrel percentage, you know, walk percentage, all in the 90 plus percentiles. He's pretty good on chase rate. He doesn't chase too much. He's a guy that, you know, theoretically would fit the Dodgers in terms of what he does. He can get on base and he can hit the ball very hard. You know, 374 on base percentage last year. That's, you know, ridiculous. He has a good eye. He basically, like I said, you think of Jock Peterson, and he's kind of the Jock Peterson, except he can kind of play first a little better. Not great, but he can kind of play it. And I think at this point in their careers, he's probably a little bit better than Jock Peterson. So it's just a matter, you know, how much do the Dodgers trust AJ Pollock? How much do the Dodgers trust Chris Taylor or Gavin Lux being an everyday guy or playing second base or, you know, whatever the case is? How much do they trust Max Muncy's elbow? You know, it shouldn't affect him swinging the bat, but it still could affect him swinging the bat. And you put all that stuff together and you think, you know, maybe they do need somebody. And I mentioned this when we were talking last time about one of the free agents. You know, Edwin Rios is coming back, but Edwin Rios is still kind of an unknown. You know, he's not a known commodity. You don't know exactly what you're getting out of him. You know, Matt Beatty, you know, we've had discussions about him and maybe he's fallen out of favor with coaching staff or whatever the case is. He's also not really a known commodity. You would imagine that he could hit pretty good, pretty well over the course of a year if given somewhat consistent playing time, but that's not a given. And he doesn't give you the power that Schwarber would give you and kind of, you know, the everyday player type role that Schwarber can have. So, yeah, it's another one. Or every time I keep looking at these free agents, I'm like, oh, yeah, the Dodgers should go get him. And you know, Kyle Schwarber fits that role. If they don't get Freddie Freeman, like I said, the Dodgers could do nothing on offense and still have one of the best offenses in baseball, at least on paper. But that doesn't mean that you shouldn't go after and try to get somebody. And now Kyle Schwarber's, you know, sitting here and looking all pretty with all these numbers. And I don't see a reason to not at least talk to him and see what he's, you know, he's only 29 years old or 28 years old, turned 29 before the season. He is a guy that can help you out and a guy that can help out offensively and a guy that you're not – anybody you're bringing on at this point other than Freddie Freeman is a guy that you're looking to help you offensively, not lead you offensively. The Dodgers have guys that can lead you offensively already. So he's a guy that can help you offensively and can maybe even carry you a little bit offensively when, you know, somebody else is down or the rest of the team is maybe down. So I'm sold. I'm in. Kyle Schwarber. If the Dodgers don't get Freddie Freeman, make the call. Kyle Schwarber. Let's get him in Dodger blue and I want to see some bombs from Kyle Schwarber. Okay, we're going to come back and talk about one more thing, and that's what's going to happen. So make sure you keep it locked on Dodgers. Bet Online has you covered this holiday season with more props, more odds, and more lines than ever before. To get you ready as football continues its march through the College Bowl season and pro football playoffs, Bet Online remains your number one spot for all the sports action this season. So head over to their website on your laptop or mobile device right now. You get a 50% welcome bonus after your first deposit with the promo code LOCKEDON. That's 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with the promo code LOCKEDON at BetOnline. From basketball, football, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports, so don't wait to take advantage of all the new amazing offers available. Bet Online, where the game starts. All right, we are back. And let's stay on the topic of free agents. You know, we talked about Anthony Rizzo. We've talked about Chris Bryant. We've talked about, you know, other people. We've talked about Kyle Schwarber today. We don't talk about Kyle Seager, although I didn't think that was much of a conversation anyways. And you know, looking at the list of free agents available, there's not too much that can completely change your team. You know, we've talked about Carlos Rodon in the pitching side and Kershaw, obviously. There's one guy that's there, that's sitting there, that intrigues me a little bit, probably only because he's been on the team before. But Zach Greinke is a free agent. And Zach Greinke is 38 years old. He's not going to, you know, be looking to sign any multi-year deals, I would imagine. I don't think he's going to get offered any multi-year deals. But he's, you know, the Dodgers need help starting pitching. And we've talked about this with Rodon a little bit the other day and then before Rich Hill signed. You know, we've seen the Dodgers get creative with starting pitching and sign guys that they weren't necessarily expecting them to give them 25, 30 starts. You expect them to give you 15 to 20 starts, you know, eat some innings when they're pitching, and hopefully be available for October. And, you know, Zach Greinke is not the Zach Greinke he was when he was on the Dodgers. Obviously, he's, you know, not a Cy Young caliber pitcher, but he's still a guy that can get you some outs. And, you know, in the role that he would be in would be a number four or five starter, which is good enough for what he's done. You know, last year he did make 29 starts last year, had a 4.16 ERA. But then in the postseason, because of, I'm assuming, injury. I wasn't following the Astros that well, but I think injury, he just kind of helped out. But then he did get the one start in the World Series and went four innings, didn't give up any runs. So he's a guy that can still get you big outs. And that was a Braves team that all the Dodgers starting pitchers struggled with, that he was able to shut down for four innings. So he still can be a guy that contributes to your team and help you out. And like I said, a 4.16 ERA last year, a FIP of 4.71, obviously not that great, a whip of 1.1, but he's never been much of a big whip guy. He's had a whip over one for most of his career. Even when he won Cy Young, he had a whip over one. So, and you just look at the body of work. I mean, you look at the last, you know, from 2017 on, he's had a 3.2 ERA, 3.21 ERA, 2.93 ERA, 4.03 ERA, 4.16 ERA. And obviously it's going up, not great, but like I said, for what you need him for, and if he knows that he's going to be pitching in reduced, you know, roles and capacities, you move him to the NL West where offense isn't as great, he could fill a role, and he could be a guy that like helps you out. Like I said, you know, he made 29 starts last year, so if you sign him, you could theoretically get 25 plus starts. But you wouldn't be expecting that. You know, you would maybe be expecting, you know, 15 to 20 starts, maybe a little bit over 20 starts if you sign him. His market's going to be interesting because, you know, how much do you give him? You know, he's just coming off a big contract. He's not going to get a big contract. Is he in the 15 mil range? Is he in the 10 mil range? Is he looking to be an everyday starter? Is he looking to, you know, you never know Zach Greinke. And as from what we've known from Greinke and what he said before is that he's going to go where the money's at. Is that still the case in his older age after having, you know, the contracts that he's had in his career? And because if he goes where the money's at, you know, the Dodgers aren't going to outbid anybody. That, you know, that's the Dodgers are going to, they're not going to see somebody saying, hey, this guy off this team offered me 10 mil. You offer me 11 mil. We'll go. If they don't believe he's worth 11 mil. If he's now, if they think, oh, we think you're worth 20 mil. So if you're going to take 11 mil, we'll sign you real quick. But if they think he's worth, you know, we think you're worth 8 mil, we're not going to go up to 11 mil. Then they're not going to sign you. They're not going to outbid you. So that's where it sits. But, you know, you look at Greinke, and I think he's a guy who can help. And you need innings to be eaten. That's the big thing. We saw it last year. At some point, we knew more innings were going to have to be eaten by other pitchers. But then, you know, I do think they rode Julio and Walker a little bit more than they probably should have, just based on the fact that 2020 was a short season and they didn't throw that much. And Julio had never thrown that much in his career. And then, you know, got dicey in the postseason when they were going short rest and throwing in between their starts and everything else. So I do think, and I still don't know why they didn't do it, why they didn't try to get a couple arms last year to eat some innings. But I know that they're fighting for the division, so, you know, you had to go with your best. I don't expect them to be doing that next year. You know, the Giants, I still expect them to be a good team, but I don't necessarily expect them to be pushing the Dodgers from day one, all the way throughout the year. And I do expect the Dodgers to have some, you know, even you lose Seager, but if you get Cody Bellinger back and his stronger capacity, if you get Mookie Betts playing better the entire year instead of coming on strong toward the end of the year, you know, you get things like that, then you're going to be a better team from the beginning. So, like I said, do you need guys to eat some innings? If it can come at a cheaper cost, a guy like Zach Greinke, guy who knows how to pitch, you know, obviously he doesn't throw hard, but he knows how to pitch. He's a guy that can help out some of the younger pitchers. I'm sure, you know, people would love to pick his brain. Brings that interesting personality to the clubhouse, which, you know, I don't know if that makes any difference for anything, but he would at least have some fun interviews for us as fans to watch. So without, you know, getting too deep into numbers and peripherals and anything, just looking at the hard raw data we have in front of us and knowing that the Dodgers, he's familiar with the Dodgers, which would probably help if they wanted to sign him. Knowing the Dodgers need some innings to be eaten, knowing that he will come relatively cheap, I think Zach Greinke is another guy the Dodgers should take a look at and wonder, can he help us out? Can he be as good as he was even last year? If he's a guy who's giving you around a 4 ERA, that's a number 5-4 starter right there. He gave 170 innings last year. If he can give you 150 innings next year, you know, you're winning right there. So Kyle Schwarber, Zach Greinke, the latest two that I'm talking myself into, although Schwarber is a little bit higher on that list than Greinke is. But either way, that's just an interesting thought and name I saw. I'm going to keep looking at these free agent lists and find interesting names and see if we can talk ourselves into them, or at least talk ourselves into maybe considering them. So that's going to do it for today's episode. Thank you all for listening. Make sure to check out Locked On Dodgers on YouTube or wherever you get your podcast. Thank you for making us your first listen every morning. We're here every weekday morning, Monday through Friday. But if you miss any days, you can also listen on Saturday and Sunday. We're not going to tell anybody. So make sure to get those listens up. Make sure to tell your friends and family. If you want to follow us on social media, we're Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Dodgers. Jeff is on Twitter at Snydog. I'm Evan Samperio. If you want to call and leave us a voicemail or send us a text, you can do so at 323-863-5625, or you can send us an email, lockedondodgers@gmail.com. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us when you get in your car or if you're at home. There's my advice, play a podcast, Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree, you just have to listen. Have a good one.